Hey, you basically shared everything. There's a couple of things that stood out for me. That line in paragraph 4 where it says, "Seen undisguised, it is intolerable. Without protection, it could not endure. Here is all sickness cherished, but without the recognition that this is so. For when an unforgiveness is not recognized, the form it takes seems to be something else. And now it is this something else that seems to terrify. But it is not the something else that can be healed. It is not sick and needs no remedy. To concentrate your healing efforts here is but futility. Who can cure what cannot be sick and make it well?" You know, we look at the body, let's just say, it's not the only way sickness shows up, but let's just do this. We look at the body and we say, this thing shouldn't be the way that it is. The body is sick. Now, I used to think that when we're told that the body cannot be sick, means that we would not see that in the body. But that's not the case. What Jesus was trying to tell me was that you think the body can be sick, but the body can't be sick, so all you see is a projection. All you see is your story about it. All you see is the use you have for it. And it says that to deny this, denial of cause leaves only effect. And that's frightening. That if you were to just see the body and what you think is happening to it or within it, that it has some sort of creative power, then you can feel only the victim of the situation. You can't possibly feel invulnerable. You can't possibly know that you are the Son of God, whole and perfect and invulnerable, if you look at the body and you see sickness. It's just a deeper understanding now that I've gotten, and it's really interesting because I've had a lot of stories around illness and physical illness, and yet even just knowing the parallel on how all the other unforgivenesses have healed, stories of where I thought I was abandoned or something happened to me and the Holy Spirit would take me back and reframe it and show me what the truth was instead so that I can let it go, seeing it as nothing. Well, physical illness was still something to me. It was a whole story about physical illness, you know, and around I would go because I focused so much on physical illness. But the body is not sick. It can't be. It can't be sick. So to look at effect, the relationship, the world, the situation, the body, whatever, to look at effect and think that it has a problem. It has a problem. There's a problem out there. Is missing the basic rule of how the mind works, which is it sees a problem because it needs to see a problem to affirm the belief that's in the mind. So it's not literal that if I see my body is sick, then my mind must be causing its sickness because the body can't be sick. So if I see anything from fear or guilt, from that filter, it is because something needs to heal. Not because anything actually happened. Because forgiveness says that nothing happened. It is not to take error and make it real and try to see what the truth is. Instead, at the same time, one must realize that the error cannot be real to find out what the truth is instead. In a relationship where somebody seems to do something to me and I have anger towards this person for seemingly doing something to me and I say, all right, well, I will forgive this person, you know? I will forgive this person, I will be the better person, la-di-da, and I will let this go. But I'm holding on to the error in my mind. But then I learn what true forgiveness is, that only my own attack thoughts were hurting me. Only my own perception based on my own projection was causing me to experience what I was experiencing. Not my brother. So then true forgiveness says, well then look at the thoughts that are causing you to need to see guilt in your brother. Look at the thoughts that are causing you to need to experience this. and ask for the truth instead, and have the correction, and when you see it as nothing, that is forgiveness, the correction of the perception. Because now, instead of holding your brother as the scapegoat in your mind, responsible for everything that seemed to be happening to you, you are taking responsibility for sight, freeing your mind, and freeing your brother by seeing it as nothing. So we learn that that's how we do forgiveness with someone, quote-unquote, else, even though there is no else. But when it comes to seeing illness in all of its forms, forgiveness is the same. It is to not look upon error and make it real. It is to realize it can't be true and find out what the truth is instead. And I'm telling you guys, this around physical illness, and granted, I know we are not just talking about physical illness, but for me, illness was always my yeah, but. Physical illness was always my yeah, but. You know, yeah, but everything else I get, but, you know, physical illness, obviously if I see something wrong with my body, there must be something wrong in my mind, and yes and no. Yes and no. The fact that I see something is what is reflecting my mind. Not that there actually is something. Because there isn't. The body can't be sick. It's that I see it that way. It's that I even need to see it that way. Because the body itself is an outpicturing of an inner condition. Anyway, there was something else I wanted to share, but I know that Tom is wanting to say something, so I'll drop the mic so you can say it, and then I'll raise my hand again.
All right, cool, thanks. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on this idea of, you know, like, when I am healed, I'm not healed alone, and why it is that way, and sort of what I've been taught around this idea and how I've experienced it. So the reason why, when I accept forgiveness or healing into my mind, the reason why it cannot be just my own healing is because when I forgive something, I am forgiving something that I believed was true but is not true. Okay? And it is not true, not because I decided that it isn't, but it isn't true because God decided that it isn't. Because it isn't a creation of God. Okay? So if something, if an idea is not a creation of God, it is not real or true. And if something, an idea, is not true for me, it is not true for my brother. End of story. That's it. That's what Jesus means, that your only responsibility is to accept correction for yourself. But when you accept it for yourself, you accept it on behalf of all your brothers, because what is not true for you is not true for any one of them. And that is how we can learn to see our brothers as healed and whole, by not believing in illusions. Now, my brother obviously is responsible for what he believes. I can't make my brother not believe an illusion. But what I can do to help my brother to heal, to inspire my brother's healing of himself, is show him that I don't believe in the illusion that he believes in. That is the nature of performing or demonstrating miracles. You demonstrate your lack of belief in an illusion. And through your demonstration, your brother has a witness to his own healing and happiness. And if your brother comes with you, goes with you, does the work with you, he must be healed with you. He must accept that he is sinless. Because you have witnessed to his sinlessness. I mean, like, it does not get any more simpler or any more practical than this. And this is what this whole pamphlet is about. It's what the course is about. It's what a holy relationship is all about. And it is what a miracle is. This is the miracle. That I accept that illusions are not true. And if they are not true, they are not true for me or my brother or God. And so I am truly healed. Because I have seen an illusion as illusion. And I have seen truth as truth. So when people say, oh, I don't need to do anything, blah, 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 blah. Well, anyone who accepts the atonement for themselves naturally demonstrates their acceptance to others. Sometimes we are given specific instructions as to ways that we can give a powerful demonstration. Sometimes we are given these instructions. Make no mistake about that. That's why miracle principle number 3 is you will be told everything you need to know. Now, if I'm desperately trying to heal my brother, and I don't see that his sickness is unreal, I cannot help my brother to heal. Because I am sick with his sickness. So we're both sick. And I'm playing the therapist. And he's playing the patient. And it's bullshit. And it'll never do anything. It's like two blind people leading the way. Hey, let's go this way. I can't see shit. But let's go this way. No. But if I ask for healing on behalf of both of us, we heal together. And I must ask on behalf of both of us. I must ask for both of us. If I ask just for myself, then I must think of myself as being separate from my brother. When I pray for healing for me alone, I'm saying, hey God, I want to be healed, but my brother, you know, it's okay. He could stay that way. He's not going to get it. That's why the miracle is an act of charity. It is an act of giving. It is an act of giving and receiving, of acceptance and extension. If any one of you thinks that you will heal in some other way, please, please do yourself a favor and look into it. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. I'm dropping the mic for you, and please give it back to me before we end. I just want to say goodbye. Thank you.
You want me to give it back to you too? It's mine. Actually, I had my hand up and I wanted to share something, but basically, you covered it. So I'll just summate it that I've been in situations in which something is healed in my mind, and then someone seems to come into my life, and I'm guided to work with them, and that thing that just healed in my mind is now being used by the Holy Spirit to heal my brother. But I've also been in situations with someone where something that is unhealed in their mind is also unhealed in mine. And it used to bother me. I used to feel like, oh God, I can't help them with this. But now it doesn't, because now I really get the nature of all of these relationships in which we heal. That sometimes something that's already been healed will be used, and sometimes something that needs to heal will come up because of my working with someone. So it's all for healing. It's all for both of us. It's either going to strengthen that which is already healed in my mind, or it's going to show me what needs to heal. And it's amazing when I'm talking with someone, and I was just talking just before this. I'm with you, Brittany. I was just talking to somebody an hour before this, and I was talking to him about his relationship and about form. And it occurred to me that what I knew about relationships and what I was telling him, and that was being used by spirit, was equally applicable to an unhealed thought in my mind about the body. And so the Holy Spirit, knowing what each of us needs, used that joining to help me and him heal in that moment. So it's not even literally what we necessarily see only, but just realizing that when we take a role as a counselor, a minister, a healer, a teacher, a therapist, however it looks in form, I promise you, it is never you to them, you to them, you to them. It is the two of you joining and healing together. And even if it's something you've already healed in your own mind that you are guided to share, there is something in there that the Holy Spirit has for you for the healing of your mind as well. And whenever I've been in that type of situation, and that's a great portion of what I do is working with people, I have to tell you that if I get into the attitude like it's me to them, me to them, me to them, or even the Holy Spirit through me to them, through me to them, through me to them, I get very cut off from receiving what I need, and I get this martyristic attitude. And it's not pleasant. It's not pretty because it's ego. It's ego. We are there to heal. No one is healed alone. No one is healed alone. We do this together. And the reason why we do this together is because what is being healed is separation in the mind. The split mind, the belief that we could be separate from our source and our brothers. How could we possibly heal the thought of separation in separation? How could we? Yeah, so I have this forgiveness lesson. I'm just going to go and retreat into isolation, and then when I come out, I will be joined with everyone. Really? Really? There are very obvious ways in which thoughts lead to seemingly sickness in the body or in the relationships, etc. There's obvious ways as we go down the rabbit hole and we learn how the mind works. We can also see that there are certain things that we can tie, like Louise Hay's stuff. We can tie certain thoughts to certain seeming experiences, but it's not necessarily all that way. It's not necessarily all that way. Like holding lots of tension and anger and unforgiveness could lead to stroke or heart problems or anxiety, panic attacks, yada yada, stomach problems, skin problems, hair, whatever. Yeah, that's true on one level, but yet at the same time, it is just showing itself. Just like the feelings are the manifestation of the experience of thought, so is your experience in the body and in the world. But it doesn't mean that the feelings in and of themselves are wrong, or the body's condition is really literal, or the world is really the way that you think it is. the body cannot be sick. It's the same error as thinking that the world really literally is the way you see it because you see it that way. That the body could be sick is the same error as... Okay. Anyway, I'm dropping the mic. Tom wants to say his goodbyes. Thank you, guys. Eventually, all the talks will be on gentlelessons.com and on Be of One Mind. There is a lot going on right now, work-wise, over here in Las Vegas. So, lots of stuff happening. Lots of shifting, too. But I will, as soon as that opens up and it gets up on the website, I will let everyone know in all the forums and on Pal Talk. So, anyway, thanks for letting me share. Dropping the mic for you, Tom. Love you all. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Hopefully, I'll still be around when this gets done. Zing. Anyways, thank you, everyone. I love you. And thank you for letting me share my thoughts and experience. And we'll see you tomorrow at noon for my Thursday Ramblings with Tom. I love you all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom Glad, Lisa Trevino. Thank you so much. It's wonderful listening to you.